July, Week 2, Monday. 1. George Pickett's Friend. Reading. George Pickett, who had known Lincoln in Illinois years before, joined the Southern Army, and by his conspicuous bravery and ability, had become one of the great generals of the Confederacy. Toward the close of the war, when a large part of Virginia had fallen into the possession of the Union Army, the President called at General Pickett's Virginia home. The General's wife, with her baby on her arm, met him at the door. She herself has told the story for us. "Is this George Pickett's home?" he asked. With all the courage and dignity I could muster, I replied, "Yes, and I am his wife, and this is his baby. I am Abraham Lincoln." "The President!" I gasped. I had never seen him, but I knew the intense love and reverence with which my soldier always spoke of him. The stranger shook his head and replied, "No, Abraham Lincoln, George's old friend." The baby pushed away from me and reached out his hands to Mr. Lincoln, who took him in his arms. As he did so, an expression of rapt, almost divine tenderness and love lighted up the sad face. It was a look that I had never seen on any other face. The baby opened his mouth wide and insisted upon giving his father's friend a dewy kiss. As Mr. Lincoln gave the little one back to me, he said, "Tell your father, the rascal, that I forgive him for the sake of your bright eyes."
Tuesday. 2. Tragedy. Reading. John Kerry visits a primary school and sits in on one of the classes, which is in the middle of a discussion of words and their meaning. The teacher asks Mr. Kerry if he would like to lead the discussion of the word tragedy. So the illustrious leader asks the class for an example of a tragedy. One little boy stands up and offers, "If my best friend, who lives on a farm, is playing in the field, and a runaway tractor comes along and knocks him dead, that would be a tragedy." "That's wrong," Kerry says. "That would be considered an accident." A little girl raises her hand. "If a school bus carrying 50 children drove over a cliff, killing everyone inside, that would be a tragedy." "You are completely incorrect," says the senator. "That would be what we would consider a great loss." The room goes silent. No other children volunteer. Kerry searches the room. "Isn't there someone here who can give me an example of a tragedy?" Finally, at the back of the room, a small boy raises his hand. In a quiet voice, he says, "If a plane carrying Senator John Kerry was struck by a missile and blown to smithereens, that would be a tragedy." "Fantastic!" exclaims Kerry. "You are absolutely right. Can you tell me why that would be a tragedy?" "Well," says the boy, "because it sure wouldn't be a great loss, and it probably wouldn't be an accident." Wednesday. 1. Address on Space Shuttle Columbia Tragedy. Reading. My fellow Americans, this day has brought terrible news and great sadness to our country. At 9 a.m. this morning, Mission Control in Houston lost contact with our Space Shuttle Columbia. A short time later, debris was seen falling from the skies above Texas. The Columbia is lost. There are no survivors. On board was a crew of 7, Colonel Rick Husband, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Anderson, Commander Laurel Clark, Captain David Brown, Commander William McCool, Dr. Kalpana Chawla, and Ilan Raymon, a colonel in the Israeli Air Force. These men and women assumed great risk in the service to all humanity. In an age when spaceflight has come to seem almost routine, it is easy to overlook the dangers of travel by rocket, and the difficulties of navigating the fierce outer atmosphere of the Earth. These astronauts knew the dangers, and they faced them willingly, knowing they had a high and noble purpose in life. Because of their courage and daring and idealism, we will miss them all the more. All Americans today are thinking as well of the families of these men and women who have been given this sudden shock and grief. You are not alone. Our entire nation grieves with you, and those you loved will always have the respect and gratitude of this country. The cause in which they died will continue. Mankind is led into the darkness beyond our world by the inspiration of discovery and the longing to understand. Our journey into space will go on. In the skies today, we saw destruction and tragedy. Yet farther than we can see, there is comfort and hope. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." The same Creator who names the stars also knows the names of the seven souls we mourn today. The crew of the shuttle Columbia did not return safely to Earth, yet we can pray that all are safely home. May God bless the grieving families, and may God continue to bless America.
Thursday, 4. On Punctuality. Reading. A punctual person is in the habit of doing everything at the proper time and is never late in keeping an appointment. The unpunctual man, on one hand, never does what he has to do at the proper time. He is always in a hurry and in the end loses both time and his good name. A lost thing may be found again, but lost time can never be regained. Time is more valuable than material things. In fact, time is life itself. The unpunctual man is forever wasting and mismanaging his most valuable asset, as well as others. The unpunctual person is always complaining that he finds no time to answer letters or return calls or keep appointments promptly. But the man who really has a great deal to do is very careful of his time and seldom complains of want of it. He knows that he cannot get through his huge amount of work unless he faithfully keeps every piece of work when it has to be attended to. Failure to be punctual in keeping one's appointments is a sign of disrespect toward others. If a person is invited to dinner and arrives later than the appointed time, he keeps all the other guests waiting for him. Usually this will be regarded as a great disrespect to the host and all other guests present. Unpunctuality, moreover, is very harmful when it comes to do one's duty, whether public or private. Imagine how it would be if those who are put in charge of important tasks fail to be at their proper place at the appointed time. A man who is known to be habitually unpunctual is never trusted by his friends or fellow men, and the unpunctual man is a source of annoyance both to others and to himself.
Friday, 5. The Joy of Living. Reading. Joy in living comes from having fine emotions, trusting them, giving them the freedom of a bird in the open. Joy in living can never be assumed as a pose or put on from the outside as a mask. People who have this joy do not need to talk about it. They radiate it. They just live out their joy and let it splash its sunlight and glow into other lives as naturally as bird sings. We can never get it by working for it directly. It comes, like happiness, to those who are aiming at something higher. It is a byproduct of great, simple living. The joy of living comes from what we put into living, not from what we seek to get from it.